This is Troy Wagner.
This is Eric Miller.
We are
Ravers for Recovery.
And if you're listening to this,
so are you.
How was your day?
How was your week?
We want to hear from you. Reach out to us by email, info@raversforrecovery.org. And go ahead and connect with others in recovery by joining our Facebook page. And always stay up to date with the latest news by visiting our website, www.raversforrecovery.org.
And now, join us for this week's podcast.
Today, we are speaking with May. She was born in Hawaii, lived and DJed in the San Francisco Bay Area, and now she is a DJ living in Seattle. She has played Chris Marshall's Sands Bar up there at the Seattle event. Also, she's been in the underground scene since the 90s, so one of those OGs. How's it going today, May?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me, Troy.
Of course. Thank you. So incredibly grateful that Chris put us in contact with each other, and such an awesome guy, you know. So you've DJed while you were partying, and then you've DJed also since you have been in recovery. Is there a difference? What is the main difference in as far as DJing goes?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. That's actually what I'm exploring in present day. When I did the Sands Bar event, it's been like the first sober event that I've DJed at since sobriety. My sober date is July 1st, 2019. So, I mean, as far as the experience goes, if I play it back, it's definitely a different way of connecting to the music, because the audience is also on a different vibe, right? So there's something about being really present with your music and how you translate, that sound to whoever's listening. I have to say that there was like a level of vulnerability there. Usually when I drank in the past, having a couple, drinks here or shot just to, smooth out the nerves.
Yeah,
definitely. Or you could call it the liquid courage. Mm-hmm. That usually kind of would get me going. So in this case, doing like a sober event, it's all there. So mm-hmm. Being present was pretty cool. But I feel like really grateful too that I had the opportunity to be in the environment where the people who were listening were also supportive and doing the same thing in their lives.
And just for the simple fact that, they do go hand in hand, I think, for a lot of people, the raves and then either drinking or using, but you can still be in the scene, still be a DJ, even though you are in recovery. Thank God that you are in recovery. That's awesome. 6 months.
Thank you.
But definitely, definitely difficult, I would think, at first. Because, I was a promoter in Las Vegas, and I thought it was a lot easier to promote and lose that. It kind of knocks down kind of gave me more courage. So in recovery, mm-hmm. we have to rebuild confidence in our true selves. But in the long run, I think definitely it is better. It is a brighter future, and we'll be all there, be all present, and lead the way in this. There's a big movement with the festivals and with the sober bars, alcohol-free bars. There's a big movement going on, and you're one of those, what do you call it? You're one of the trailblazers for that. So that's really awesome.
That's very generous. That's a very generous compliment, Troy. I feel that I have you know, when I decided, like when I had my woke moment to be sober, to decide to be sober, you know, just a little bit of backstory. This is my second time in sobriety. My first try at it was in 2012. And I was able to stay sober for almost 4 years. And, you know, what I call it is I went back into the wilderness. And I, you know, I just, at that point in time, I was like, hey, I want to see if I can do this again. You know, be someone who can handle a drink and, you know, be an adult drinker, you know. And it just, it came to a conclusion for me that I'm not wired that way, you know. And it took me a while to get to the point of deciding to get sober. Like, I actually started thinking about it early 2008, after I had a situation where I had a major blackout episode.
Oh, wow, how scary.
And after that, it really just sunk in. I was like, I really need to reevaluate my relationship with alcohol. And it took me over a year and a half to get to that point. It was July 1st, you know, and I woke up and the loudest voice in my head told me I needed to stop, and I knew what that voice was saying. Like, everything in my entire being was saying I need to quit alcohol. Like, it needs to stop. And I just, since then, it's been something where I actually need to have it be a level of obsession, right? So it kind of, you know, ties into like that addicted behavior. So at this point, 6 months, I still feel really new at it again. But, you know, to be obsessed with something like sobriety, I feel like... I kind of won the lotto on that.
Yeah. Very proud of you. You know, your story is very similar to mine. I first got clean and welcome, you know, I first found the rooms of recovery and really found out what recovery even was through an incident. I found out about it through an incident that happened back in 2013. You know, and I did. I was on probation, you know, so that helped a lot also with me staying clean and sober. But once they lifted, and that was for about 4 years, 4.5 years. Once they lifted that probation, about a week later, I was in the scene. I was in Vegas, you know. I didn't have the paper.
Right.
I wasn't on paper anymore, so I did relapse, unfortunately.
Right.
You know. And now we're both newbies again in recovery.
Yeah.
Not entirely newbie, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's like, I don't know if you went through this, you know, in the beginning, but I definitely had to work through huge disappointment of almost like, I knew better, but I still wanted to test it, you know. And so deciding to be sober again, I had to work through those feelings of like, okay, I'm at it again, you know, and thinking about all the time that I did stay in sobriety the first time and just really letting go and just realizing, okay, I need to reset and be in the moment. And it is indeed one day at a time. You know, and in that early sobriety time, it was just sometimes it was every hour or every minute that I would have to recommit myself to be sober,
so
not to have alcohol.
So which skills have you found to be most useful? Like, do you meditation, journaling, gratitude journaling, you know, prayer? Which skills have you used?
Yeah, that's a great question, Troy. You know, I have been trying it all. I found what is helping me now is being really transparent about it. So for me, I tend to be pretty private with what what's going on in my life. And, you know, this platform we call social media, you know, is just a way of, I guess, sharing that with others.
Mm-hmm. Others
and
that are
so
struggling.
Starting my Instagram account is mm-hmm. one way that I, you know, use that as a tool.
Now let's talk a little bit.
Sorry
to cut you off there. I apologize for that.
No worries.
Let's talk about a little bit about your Instagram account and your Facebook account. Your DJ name, Zero Proof DJ. When did you pick that name? And yeah, just the story behind that DJ name.
My alias name is Missy May. But when I created the Instagram account, I wanted it to be what it was. So, I mean, Zero Proof was where I'm at and, you know, what I'm committed to. And, you know, I'm a DJ. So this is kind of what my journey looks like right now. I'm trying to figure out how to integrate music with my sobriety, you know, and so I was like, okay. And it was a name that wasn't taken. So
like, there you go.
Okay, that's
well, yeah, I love it.
Yeah, and so now it's my Instagram blog.
Awesome. And people are able to reach that Instagram blog, I believe, by zero_proof_ or
It's Zero Proof mm-hmm. _DJ.
Okay. So they can go ahead and follow you on there. Let's see. We spoke about really, you know, what brought you to recovery, what brought you back to recovery, the challenging parts of your recovery, the skills that you have used, you know, while in recovery. And so if you were to choose one of the, you know, one, what is the greatest advantage to living this new clean lifestyle? Or no, sorry, not clean, sober lifestyle.
I mean, some of the advantages, I mean, a huge advantage is health and time. My goodness, I don't have to deal with the hangovers and then the recovery time that, you know, it would take to get back to good. Mm-hmm. I'm less sick. I have more energy. And, you know, the time and the money that goes into alcohol is just, it's striking to me. As I reflect on it,
the money.
So those are some of the advantages as far as being, you know, sober.
And reconnecting with family, are there bonds? You know, are there connections that I don't know if the alcohol caused any relationship problems for you? But now that you are in recovery, are your relationships growing better, I guess?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, with the relationships closest to me, they've been super supportive. You know, and it just, this journey has forced me to look inward. There's a process of looking inward and learning how I connect with others, learning how I connect with myself. You know, it's definitely elevated my quality of life of what that relationships or what those relationships look like. You know, there is a time where you do have to build trust that, you know, this is that's me when I'm drinking. And this is me now, you know, so there's a period where that trust has to be rebuilt. Mm-hmm. But, you know, all in all, you know, as of now, everything has been positive, you know, as I continue to make progress after they're down this journey.
Everyone is very supportive in your circle. I love that. I love mm-hmm. that. You know.
Yeah, and then, you know, that's just a side note too. And, you know, I'm speaking about relationships, you know, mm-hmm. going back to the Instagram blog.
Okay.
You know, just to add to what helps is that through the sober community, I've been having really inspiring and profound conversations just through DMing and messaging. Mm-hmm. That support is like really, it's very, what's the word? It's so positive, you know, that it just confirms that I made the right decision. You know, just the level of vulnerability that everybody's willing to share on, you know, that level is, I'm super grateful.
Well,
super grateful.
Well, I'm definitely grateful for you. You know, a few minutes ago, you did say that you are, you know, a very private person, and for you to be willing to come on this podcast and share your story in hopes that it will reach many people and help them, you know, and that they'll be able to get strength from your story. And you're already helping me. Definite. That's a definite. So I do.
Oh, wow, Troy. Well, I mean, vice versa. I'm super humbled and honored to be speaking with you. And I know we've come from different paths and we're on a similar journey, but to be able to connect in this place of owning it, you know, owning our stuff and owning, you know, being in that vulnerable place where this is all of me is pretty cool. You know, it's definitely a gift.
Yes, yes. Now, go ahead and I want to cover something for the people that are listening to this and the people that are still struggling with alcohol or, you know, with trying to find recovery. What would you like to tell those listeners, you know, that are struggling either with drugs or alcohol? What message would you like to tell them?
You know, I don't know if I feel 100% comfortable telling anyone what they should do.
Okay.
But what I do know is that what's working for me is that, you know, I continue to strive to be the best that I can be and continue to share my story and be the best version of myself and continue my journey in recovery. And, you know, I guess the quotations, what I'm saying is just really listen to what you need. You know, there's so many options now and places you can get help or where you can reach out for help. I think the biggest hurdle sometimes can be just asking for help. You know, there's a wealth of resources now that you can tap in if you do need that.
Yeah,
the first step is, you know, realizing, okay, I do need to ask for help and exploring what that looks like.
And definitely that it is a, you know, I didn't believe it for a long time. I wanted to do everything on my own. I wanted to recover on my own. You know, it wasn't until I was able to reach out to family that, you know, that, yeah, I thought it was a weakness kind of to ask for help, but it's yeah. so not. It's such a strength to reach out for help. And there, like you said, mm-hmm. there is a lot of help out there, and recovery looks different to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so many different options. There are so many different options. So any shows coming up that you're going to be on or any places where people can catch you performing?
I might be showing up at the next Sam's Bar event. It's not announced yet, but it's definitely on their tour event. So there's been a little bit of talk about me possibly being there.
Awesome.
So that's in Portland. March 7th.
March 7th in Portland, DJ Zero Proof at Sands Bar. Sounds good, sounds good. And I believe you're going to leave a little bit of your music at the end of this podcast. Anything you'd like to say about the mix?
Yeah, well, I mean, as far as the mix goes, it's just totally going to be vibe. So I hope you like it.
I'm sure we all will love it. Well, again, you know, I do want to say that I am so, so grateful for you to take the time out of your busy day to, you know, get on this phone call and just, you know, to share your message with others, because that's what recovery really is, helping the next addict that, or alcoholic that is, you know, still suffering. And we know, and there's a lot of that in this scene, you know, in the dance music scene. So
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I thank you for having me on your podcast, and I'm really excited for what Ravers for Recovery is all about and what you guys are trying to do. And I'm really happy that I got to be, you know, part of that for you. So thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of course, May. Thank you. So we will go ahead and next part of the podcast will be your mix. So stay tuned, y'all. We'll be right back.
mix with Missing May.
Forever. And never. Don't lie, don't be wrong. I hold on, need the love strong. Forever. And never. Don't lie, don't be wrong. I hold on, need the love strong. Forever. And never. Lord of Narrative, and save me from blaming because of your strength. While I walk the blind way, the God is my defense.
You have been listening to another episode of the Ravers for Recovery podcast. I am Troy Wagner.
I'm Eric Miller.
And we are Ravers for Recovery. And if you listen to this, you are too. Go ahead and join the Facebook group, which is growing quickly. You'll find that with keyword Ravers for Recovery. Also, make sure to check out the website. A lot of cool info on there. That's at ravers4recovery.org. Until next time, again, we are Ravers for Recovery.